Art musings.
Art musings.
This is Art Musings with Love from Oxford, a podcast where we natter with local artists, learn about their process, their work, and delve deep into the juicy bits, the dark underbelly of being an artist. I'm Carol Terrio, a painter focused on watercolor and inks.
And I'm Sally Ann Stewart, a lino cut printmaker who loves depicting the beautiful city we live in. We're kicking off our art careers and hoping to learn a few tips and tricks from those around us. And we thought you might like to join us. Allons-y.
Allons-y. Today on Art Musings, Sally and I are chatting with multi-award winning portrait artist, Rosso Emerald Crimson. Rosso originally hails from the Isle of Sicily, but has lived in the UK since the noughties, first in London for a few decades and now in Oxford. Her portraits are an exploration of womanhood, where female subjects emerge through a haze of pastels and muted tones. She has a ton of awards and press coverage under her belt and has twice appeared on Sky's Portrait Artist of the Year. Now, I've never had the pleasure of meeting Rosso, but Sally has.
Yes, Rosso and I met at one of the Creative Thursday Oxford meetups. And these guys organise a social get-together for artists on the first Thursday of every month at great venues around Oxford.
Oh, that's super cool. I didn't know that. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think you were cool enough, so I didn't invite you.
Nice.
What it is you need to get on social media, Carol, and then you'll see.
So nice segue.
What you can do is check out their Instagram account at Creative Thursday Oxford. The details of the next one. So I met Rosso at one of these back on a very wet night in January, and I ended up feeling rather embarrassed because she told me she was a portrait artist and she said she also did some teaching. And so I enthusiastically said, oh, so do I, feeling rather proud of my sort of semi-regular workshops that I've been running here in Oxford. And then, so she told me a bit more about her teaching, and we'll hear more about it shortly. But she has totally got it nailed. She does in-person classes, not just in the UK, but all around the world. She runs online classes. She has a mentorship program, and she has art retreats that take place in beautiful locations, such as her forthcoming one in her native Sicily.
This is my dream.
So I know it is your dream.
And today's focus topic is one of my ginormous bugbears, social media. I have a real issue with the whole concept of it, like how it connects us, but also totally disconnects us. So I'm super looking forward to listening to Rosso on the highs and the lows of an artist successfully building their digital art persona. So without further ado, Rosso, welcome to Art Musings.
Hi, Carol. Hi, Sally. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you for this wonderful intro. I blush.
Well, it's all true. Now, when we interview artists, we invite them at this point to share their website or their socials so that listeners can have a look at your art as we chat. So, Rosso, where's the best place to find you online?
So certainly you can find me in my second home, which is Instagram. My handle is Rosso Artist, R-O-S-S-O Artist. Actually, if you put Rosso, it should come up already because the numbers now are big and it comes up. My partner said, like, you are 10% famous because he thinks that you need to be over 1 million followers to be famous. And so they're like, I'm in the 10%, okay.
You see, I can hear how Sally's like, I want that. And I'm sitting here thinking, oh.
I'm going to tell you all the tricks, everything. Don't worry, I promise you.
I think we should maybe start, go way, way back, Rosso. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about your background. Like, I guess what we're primarily interested in is, when did creativity and art creep in to you as a person?
Yes, so my background is very different. I studied politics. All I wanted was to travel and leave Sicily. So I actually studied international politics. And then I finished my studies here in UK through some exchange programs. And then I moved here permanently, and I looked immediately for a job, and I started working in advertising. So the first 30 years of my life was about grammar school, politics, and then ended up in advertising. And then after I turned 30, I started feeling a little bit, I don't know, I had this clock, the internal clock clicking, but it wasn't for the being a mother. It was like, you get out of here, like you need your freedom. Okay, that's good, that's nice, but there must be something else in life. So yeah, I had this crisis there, but then I happened to meet my actual partner, and he was actually doing some life modeling, and I had no idea of what life model was. Like, I was completely removed from that world. I was into the office career thing and all this kind of stuff, wearing high heels, all this kind. So when I met him, he was a kind of a hippie guy there, all in this environment, very, very bohemian, very bohemian.
Yeah, long hair. Did he have long hair?
Long hair. Yeah, just returned from Nepal, been there volunteering there for 6 months, and like a long history. So I was like, wow. He had even dreadlocks, okay? He also had dreadlocks. So I was like blown away by this thing, like, what is that? And actually I asked him, like, but what do you do exactly? And he was like, oh, it's a very, very casual way of working, like life modeling and then this and this. So I was really like blown away by this new reality. So he introduced me to the life modeling. He invited me to go to these drawing classes. And I had the call there because I loved it. I loved it. It was like an incredible environment. And then I got really lost. Like, I didn't know anymore what to do because I didn't want to go back to the boring office life. But at the same time, I felt like a fish out of water. I didn't know. Like, I did that jump. Like, I felt like I closed the door, but I didn't know where to go then. And so for the first few years, basically I was keeping doing some freelance for my company and some other day in advertising. And I kind of kept going to life drawing classes and then start taking some painting classes at community colleges. And in this way, it was like 5 years of full navigating into this art environment, into this new environment. And eventually I found out, I went to an exhibition of an artist, his style, I really loved his style. And he was running a workshop in London, and I enrolled there. And in fact, I was so right. He was the best ever teacher I had. 1 week workshop. It was a new leap forward for me into my understanding of what I wanted to actually paint, because I knew I was passionate, but I still didn't. It took me a long time to understand. And since then, it's been I've been moving in the same direction, like figurative and portraiture.
That's so great that you found him and you found that person who really helped you home in on what you wanted to do.
Yes, yes, totally. That was a really lucky day when I saw this exhibition and things. Yes.
Looking at what you've achieved and the fact that this isn't sort of 20 years work, you know, that you had that career shift and that you still managed to achieve this, you know, in a relatively short time. I just think it must be testament to how determined a person you are, but that's clearly something that's in your personality, that urge to change and to grow.
Yes, I would say it's a lot. I mean, it's got its good point and it's got its bad point, of course, like everything. Many times I feel like I wish to be a little bit more relaxed and maybe enjoy more things to life than just where I'm going. And, you know, but I always hear this clock, the tick, 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 tick. First it was the motherhood, and then it was the partnership and the partner, and then it was like the job. And, you know, it feeds into the creativity as well, this way of being a little bit twisted. If you meet me in person, you would feel like, oh, you're so relaxed. So everything is actually running inside in my head.
Oh, well, it served you well. Let's talk about your work. Your portraits are just incredible. The women in them are so luminous and beguiling. And what I love and what I know you've worked really hard on is the backgrounds, which are really quite abstract and not figurative. And they are sort of layered and there are different things coming through and they're all very different to each other. Can you tell us a bit about how those backgrounds come about? Are they quite spontaneous or do you put a lot of thought into them?
Nowadays, 50% of my practice is about that. So I spend like the first few years trying to understand the portraiture and figurative work and the skin tones. And I put a lot of work in that. Now I feel that after so many years, I feel like much more confident in the way I approach portraiture. Mm-hmm. Tried all sorts of approaches and I kind of feel like I'm mastering more or less. Not mastering, but I'm much more confident. So I kind of relax with the portraiture side. And in the last kind of 3-4 years, it's been all about the background. Mm-hmm. So with the background, yes, there is a lot of thought happening. It takes really, really a big chunk of my creative process to the point that many paintings are left abandoned because I don't find the background that matches. Mm. What I would love to do is when the background tells the story together with the figure. Now, every time I achieve something like this, which comes really natural, or I feel like, yes, that's what I want. But unfortunately, it doesn't come all the time. I want to tell a story where the background is part of it. I have a big mood board on my walls in the studio. So the other day I was doing something else and there was this picture and all of a sudden I had the like, boom, like, oh, that's how I want to do this picture. So I was so happy because I was like, so in that case, there was like the background with the colors and everything, which was very, very integrated with the mood and everything. So that is one thing. I don't say that this painting, it's a masterpiece, but it's kind of ideally what I really, really like, you know, when you have like tuned and everything really connected and they play with your mind. But otherwise, yes, if that doesn't happen, then there is still a lot of work going on to create the texture and ways to achieve texture. So yes, a lot of work for the background, in short.
Do you paint every day, Rosso?
Well, I do. Not every day because I have a lot of admin work to do.
And Instagram.
And so I wish I could spend much more time in the studio. It cannot happen, unfortunately. The good thing is that the studio now, it's in my garden. And so I have the privilege of working until midnight. So for instance, like today, I know I'm going to start at maybe around 4 o'clock after our podcast interview. And then I'm going to be there like uninterrupted until midnight, you know. So, yes. So it's a continuous practice, yes, for sure.
Is there a day that you remember as like, this was my best art day? Like, was it a sale or was it a competition or was it a achieving a particular piece of work where it just landed exactly as you'd hoped?
I'm not any more excited about sales too much because like I kind of design anyway a strategy where I would sell maybe a little bit a lower price, a little bit more often. So it hasn't got that massive impact on me. So this day is really like I get really happy when I do some work that I really like. That's when I get really, really excited. And then obviously now and then when I get an opportunity like an invitation of something that I was dreaming of for a long time and it then all in a sudden happens, then of course. Recently, I've been shortlisted for another competition in Spain. the mode portrait competition. So it's quite a big competition, internationally renowned, and they took a really, really big piece of mine. And so that was really, I was really happy to hear that. In fact, actually, what excites me nowadays, finally, is to spend a day with my daughter doing nothing. Like watching TV, being hugged on the sofa, doing nothing, everything apart. It's like, oh, I get really excited.
That sounds perfect. Another way of relaxing would be for someone to attend one of your art retreats. They sound just lovely. Can you tell us what's involved? Because they sound dreamy.
Relaxing for them, maybe, not for me.
Oh, yeah, no, not for you, obviously. Not at all.
Okay, so I had the art retreat. Well, this was a dream that I had for a long, long time. I wanted to do an art retreat in Sicily way before I knew I wanted to be an artist. It's crazy. Probably my dream was to go back to Sicily for work in a nice way and take people there. So after so many years, I've been abroad over 20 years. Then eventually when I started being an artist, I was already like, oh, maybe one day I can actually go there and teach people and then do a workshop. And so I started seeing things, and that was maybe around 7 years ago. And then last year, actually, I did my first workshops in US, and which was the very first time actually I was running a workshop in person for a big group for 5 days. And so I didn't know even how that they would take it. But actually, I loved it and they completely loved it. I was in my place and they were really enjoying the teaching and what they got really inspired. They produced really beautiful work. So I got really, really and so enthusiastic. I told them, like, you know, I have this idea to do an art retreat in Sicily. Since I left the workshop in the States, they've been bombarding me. Did you organize?
Oh, great. So you got them hassling you.
Exactly. I had basically, when I left the workshop, that was in September last year, after like 2 weeks, I got all the emails. They said, like, we are coming. Please do organize it. So I kind of started it with this core group of fanatics of my work and my day experience. That actually make me do the jump, like, okay, I have actually already 8 people for sure, which was the minimum I needed. And so I started. But then actually when I posted online, I had an incredible response. And so I got so many people wanted to come. And so I decided to run a second version, even before having the first one, which are going to happen in 1 month. So it's going to be relaxing for them for sure. But for me, it's a really interesting, like a turn into my career. Bridging back to what I said before, I like to change a little bit. So it's nice that when you are an artist, there is so many ways that you can enrich and expand and explore.
Oh, it's fun. Yeah, that's it. It's a huge undertaking, but amazing that you're there now. Obviously, you're the kind of woman who likes to keep moving on. So now your art retreat dream is almost within grasp. What's going to be the next big goal for you after that? Or are you going to have a lie down on the sofa?
Yeah, basically, I don't want to move that much. I would like to push more like the online thing, and maybe move more just for traveling, just for myself. So actually, Sally was mentioning that I'm running a mentorship. So the mentorship is actually an idea, a business plan, a business idea that I have that I'm working on. Following a very successful Zoom workshop that I ran in January. So again, I ran this Zoom workshop with the help of my partner, and I got many, many people enrolled from all over the world. I think I want to do the mentorship, like I want to create like a 1 year thing, something that people can enroll anytime. And they will find a library of content, and then we do some Zoom session where we are in touch. So that's my next, that work-wise. I think I wanna I will focus on that and move a little bit less and do everything from the comfort of my studio.
Oh, excellent. So more time for art and less time in airports.
Yes, exactly. I mean, that is nice as well to meet people in person, of course.
Yeah.
But yeah, ideally having like a little bit of a balance with a little bit of everything. Yeah, that's my next thing. After that, I don't know, I have very 1 year, maximum 2 years plan for now.
And I think you must have you cloned yourself or something, because I don't understand how you have the time to achieve all this amazing stuff. You must just slog your guts out every day.
If we switch to the next, to the focus topic, I will tell you how.
Okay, let's go.
So social media, this is a big one, like for artists, like it takes time and it takes skill, and you're encouraged by the platform, whether it be TikTok or Instagram or Facebook or whatever. But all these sites are like designed to make you like you should be there all the time to like, to comment, to post, to share, to like, to comment, to post, to share. And it's just exhausting to me to even think about. So Ross, so why did you choose this topic? What made you choose this one?
I owe everything of my career to the social media, to Instagram. Finally, after many years of sweating and trying to build a profile on a social media, something eventually happened. The numbers start rolling. My reach suddenly increased, and that meant more followers. I got really excited, and I never stopped that, because it's clear that you don't stop if something goes well. I've been building a really strong connection with the community, with my followers on Instagram. These days now I have over 150,000 followers, and I don't reach all of them, but I have a few thousands that they are really, really following me, that they are buying my work, that they are coming to the workshops in person, that they are enrolling online, and that they are allowing me to do all what I'm doing. So being self-taught and also being coming from a completely different environment, like I was working in advertising, I had no idea, no connection with the art world. That was my only chance for me. It's like either by on social media or nothing, because I did have some connection, and I won some prizes. And I was also, yes, as you said before, the Sky Portrait Artist of the Year. I actually participated a couple of times. But those events, I wasn't still able to monetize, you know, on those. So the only way I could monetize is with numbers of people that are actually buy my work, and they enroll in my workshops. And that's when Instagram, it's great.
And it's interesting that you say that, you know, you've got 160,000 followers on there, but your kind of core set of people that you engage with is a few thousand, and you know, still engaging with a few thousand people, as evidenced by what you've achieved, is that's a lot of people to sort of have who, you know, want your stuff, who'll sign up for things, who'll buy your things. So even though it's only a small proportion of that huge following, it into a lot.
In my case, my experience was that since my accounts went over 5,000 followers, in a way, the reach and the engagement hasn't changed much, which is ridiculous. But when I was having only 5,000 followers, I was reaching the same, and you can see the reach of your posts and reads from the inside. So the reach really didn't change. The numbers of likes per post didn't change. So nowadays I post and I still have more or less the similar number of likes and followers. I did realize that there is like a core group of people that they are really, really interested in what you're doing. It's your niche. You're reaching your niche.
How do we get to 5,000? Because Carol and I are both a fair way from there.
Far away? How far away? Have you got like a couple, 1,000 or something?
So I think I've got coming up to 1,200.
Okay.
I'm really pleased with, because it's been, 3 years or something? So it's not an astronomical rate of growth, but I never thought that I'd get there. So, I'm pleased to be there.
And do you have any practical return? Do you have people that enroll in your workshops or that buy some artwork or not yet?
Yeah, I would say, I think how I use it is probably a bit too sporadic to really measure very precisely, but I definitely do get sales and workshop signups through that.
You never know when I really will go viral, and obviously my concept of viral is very different to your concept of viral. Let's put it this way: viral is any time that your reels has got reaches more followers than you have. So if you post a reel and already reaches 4,000, you have 4,000 views, that is certainly going to take you followers. So this is why it's important to keep posting reels. You have certainly reached at least 3,500 people that they were not following you. And some will automatically click the follow button, and some will really love you and they will not leave you. You can be really sudden that you spiral up to, 4,000 and then 5,000 and then 6,000, you know? Like, it's not a big deal. I would suggest to just be patient there and just keep putting a post or a reel, and I've seen your reels, and they have a really good format.
Oh, thank you.
Thing is, when you post, every time you post, you lose followers. You gain followers, but you also lose followers. Like, I don't want to tell you how many followers I lose in a month. You would go crazy. Like, I lose like 6,000 followers every month. Like, it's regular. And I don't understand, you know, it's like numbers, the bigger the numbers, the more it's always the same thing. If you start posting every day, there might be you need to check your reach, because if you're posting every day, but then you notice that you are only reaching your followers and the percentage of non-followers is like under 5%, then I would have a break. And put maybe post every 2 days or every 3 days, because what you want to do is that you want to, because otherwise you will lose more followers than you gain.
So can you, in a nutshell, Rosso, give us a few quick best practice tips for growing our social media following?
Yeah, so I would say consistency. I know it's written everywhere, but it's a good practice. And then alternate post, fixed post image with reels. Alternation is good. At some point it was just reels, but now it's more alternation. So maybe the ratio could be 2 reels to 1 post, 2 posts to 1 reel. These are very subjective. So understand, first of all, how your own personal account works. The rules are very, very subjective, how the algorithm works. So understand what works best for you, if it's more reels or more posts. I see people that they get so much more reach with a still image than a reel. So when I see them, for me, it's both, like it's half and half, and it's very periodical. Then you also need to identify the type of content. So for me, again, it's cyclical. And sometimes I start putting posts where I'm in there, me and the artwork, and they get me a lot of reach. If I put the artwork only, very little reach. And the same with the reels. If I put myself in, like sometimes showing myself, the reach can go high. Process reels, well done, they do perform, but not necessarily all the times, you know. So sometimes it's a little bit of you being in, and this just takes it's very personal. You need to monitor how your account perform, but in general, while you are testing that, be consistent and keep it at least to every 3 days. I wouldn't recommend to leave an account dormant for more than 4 or 5 days. It's like it really goes into hibernation, you know.
Oh, no. God, that quickly. That's terrifying.
Well, again, I'm talking about my experience with a big account. These are very subjective things. And the more numbers you have, the rules keep changing, you know.
Yeah.
It's very subjective, which is why I'm telling you to understand your how your own profile works, that about the consistency and about the fact of not leaving the account dormant. It's a good practice. Another thing is like, how the hell can I have all this content constantly? Well, you can repeat your content. You can repeat, because remember that you always reach different people. And even if you reach your own followers, it's different followers that you are reaching. If you reach non-followers, you are reaching people that never seen your work. So basically, don't get paranoid or feel ashamed to think like, oh my God, people already saw it. Because no, people most probably, they didn't see it. And you know what? There is a small percentage of people that they will see it again and they will feel like, oh, again, but you always hope that they have a little bit of understanding why you are repeating some content, you know, which I think in between artists, there is this understanding, you know, like you must understand why someone keep putting a post that performs particularly well.
Yeah.
Well, of course, avoid posts that don't perform, because that's a trap, you know. If something really doesn't perform, just being it, you know. One thing that doesn't perform for many, many, many people, many artists and whatever, you can notice it, is when you put some script, when you announce something. For instance, you have an exhibition and you put the poster of the exhibition. That is a killer. That is a killer.
Oh, yeah, it hates that, doesn't it?
Is a killer. Like, the reach is very... So if you want to tell people that you are having the exhibition you are very proud of, rather put the artwork that you are exhibiting, and then on the second post, on the second page, or in the caption, put like, hey, I'm having this exhibition happening here, here, here. Don't just put that one, because you will not achieve your goal, which is you're happy and you want to many people know about that. So that's another tip.
I feel we're so lucky to have had you on here to give us the benefit of all that hard work.
Russell, can you share your Instagram once again for our listeners, where people could see your work, your beautiful, beautiful work?
So it's Russell Artist, R-O-S-S-O Artist, Russell Artist, all together, non-full stop. That's my Instagram, and my website is russellart.net.
Brilliant. Russell, Emerald, Crimson. You have three colors in your name.
Yes, my favorite colors.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for coming on Art Musings. We wish you the very, very best of luck with everything you're doing, and you make us all look lazy. So for that, fuck. No, I'm kidding.
you're gonna cut that, right? The swearing is being cut and edited.
I don't know. I like to keep it dirty occasionally.
Oh, thank you so much, Rosso. You've been amazing.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It was really lovely.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Art Musings. We will be back as soon as we can. Until then, go art it up.